The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Astoria, Oregon is the site of the first American-owned settlement on the Pacific coast of North America. In this episode, we share what we learned on our very first visit to Astoria about its origin story and our experience at its Flavel House Museum, which is somewhat haunted because, yes, I felt something, and so have other folks apparently. Come join us for a quick day trip to one of Oregon's most famous towns. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome, everyone.
Cheers.
Sienna has her coffee there.
My coffee ready to go, fueling me up. Toast has already downed hers.
Yep.
All right. We're going to tell you today about a little day trip that we took that we were excited to go on finally, and we did, and we didn't let anything stop us, not even the clouds and the full rain.
It was bad weather.
The weather was horrible. It felt very...
It was not good.
The town felt very depressing, but anyway...
Well, the drive,
It was very interesting, so we're going to share some of this with you today. So we decided to go take a day trip to Astoria in Oregon. And Astoria, why don't you tell the people where that is?
Oh, yeah. This
was
entertaining.
Bird's eye view on the map.
Well, I think
it was helpful for me when you explained it that way, because I was just like, Astoria? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, I heard of Astoria before, you know, it sounded familiar. I could not point to it on a map, though. So enter Google. And I was able to put together an Apple note for our little, our trip to act as our kind of like our bare bones tour guide.
Yeah.
And so I was able to explain to Sienna, okay, so you know how Oregon is like a rectangle, right? It's like a rectangle shape on the map. Well, Astoria is in the very, very top tippy left corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the mouth of the Columbia River, where the Columbia River empties out into the Pacific Ocean. And I was also delighted to realize and put two and two together. I was like, oh, also, a lot of people have probably heard of John Jacob Astor, or the Astors.
Yes.
As a famous, you know, really rich family, right? Like a dynasty family. And I learned that this guy, this dude, John Jacob Astor, he was America's first multimillionaire. And I think, from what I gathered, he made his fortune first in furs. That's a lot of Fs.
I know.
But in the fashion industry, like, it was a really big thing to have, you know, clothes made out of beaver fur and similar animals
and
with
mink.
Fur. All kinds of, yeah.
So, bear.
So that company set up a fort. Fort Astoria. At the present day, what later turned into Astoria, Oregon. And I was like, oh my God. Oh, that's how it got its name.
Yeah.
Astoria. So I was like, wow. But that was the very first permanent settlement on the entire Pacific coast. Mm. Right there. Because of fashion. And we're going to take...
And at the expense of beautiful
right,
animals.
We're going to take animals and wear them. I mean, I can... You know what, though? I can totally see... Like, yes, that we do, it does require the taking of life in order to live. That's what eating is, even plants, right? But just the, you know, for the sake of fashion, it's kind of like, ooh, yikes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Astoria, folks.
So So Astoria. So it is a long drive for us. It was like an hour and 45 minutes.
We think that's long because we're from Hawaii.
We think that's long. And also, too, we're out of practice because in California, right, right. we would, you know, just driving to a place would take 45 minutes.
Because of traffic on the 405.
At the least, it would take 45 minutes. Yeah. So coming from the land of traffic to Portland, it's just been such a different experience. So we're a little bit rusty when it comes to how long the drives are out here. But what's also interesting for anyone, any one of you listening who has cats, who have a hard time like leaving your cats for a long period, we were gifted an automatic pet feeder. And what we have in it is actually freeze-dried raw cat food. So it's freeze-dried, so it doesn't have to be refrigerated or anything like that. And we have it on a timer. And so what's so fantastic is we can go out now on these longer trips. And when Bear, our cat, is normally scheduled to eat, I can press a button and he will get his food. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful. So that was peace of mind. Was some peace of mind. And it also has a little camera where you can see the food dispense and you're not going, I wonder if it went off or not.
Yeah.
And then you see your cat come up and eat it. And so it was really very comforting to be so far from home and be able to still monitor your animals. So just a thought for anyone out there who doesn't leave their house because of their animals. But okay, so we took a long drive to this town, and the first stop we made was an antique store. Well, first of all, it was raining, okay? It was like really cloudy, gloomy, rainy. So I don't really think we got... Well, maybe that is the true Astoria.
I was just going to say, because it's like,
that
it's
is
definitely
the majority of the time.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the classic Pacific Northwest experience, right? Where we always make the joke about, well, that's where Edward lives, the vampire.
Oh, yeah, the mist.
Know? Yeah, the foggy mist and stuff like that. But anyway, maybe that's where this place got its name. I don't know. It's called Fog Bounders Antiques Mall. Fog spelled P-H-O-G. I don't even know. I just found it online. Yeah. So it's like we love browsing antiques. So that's where we went. And it did not disappoint. It was a great, fun browse. Two stories.
I think what's so different about when you're talking about the Pacific Northwest, Northwest weather.
Yeah.
There was something really different about being so close to the water and having this cloudiness. Something about it felt depressing.
Well, it's like,
you know?
Yeah.
Or
it's like Seattle
or
San
like
Francisco.
Something's going to happen.
Alaska. It's like those shows, those on TV, right?
When I know, you see. That's why. It was kind of like...
Murdery?
Yeah, it felt murdery. It felt like
oh no.
You know those shows where like people want to get out of the town, like I'm going to get out of this town and make something of myself or whatever, you know, those towns.
Yes, I know what you mean.
It felt like a very small town. Mm. And I think some of the charm was lost just because it was hard to get past the weather.
It was cold and wet.
Know?
So, dreary. Yeah.
And yet it was so crowded. It was like...
Kind of hopping.
It was.
Yeah.
So anyways, but we stopped off at this antique store. Like Toast said, it didn't disappoint. And there were, just as any antique store would have it, they always have your scary dolls and all kinds of things in there. But one of the things that was pretty fun to peruse were the yearbooks.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Because I haven't seen yearbooks in antique stores in, I don't know, maybe ever?
Like high school yearbooks.
Yeah,
from
high school
this yearbooks. One was from what, 19?
From the 40s, early 40s.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I thought that was really neat. And then it also is so interesting to see things from like the 40s and 50s where it's like, how to get a man. Or like how to plan your wedding or, you know, to see what people were being taught.
Yeah.
And little manuals on these things. And, but I think one of the creepiest things I saw in there was pretty much a mint condition doll from 1906.
Woo!
Do you remember seeing that? And yes. They had it staged in a carriage from 1930.
Yeah.
So.
It was kind of trippy because I thought the carriage looked older than the doll.
Yes, yes. That's how well kept that doll is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so interesting. Yeah, our notion of what looks old, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That store was really neat. But anyway, so we made our way through that store and then we decided, let's go ahead and check out the Flavelle House, which is a house from the late 1800s. And it's a gorgeous, amazing mansion, basically, built in 1885. And where you enter to go buy your tickets, that's also like a house. And I thought that was the house.
Right. It's yeah, that's what's so fun about like going new places is the novelty, right? It's yeah. like you don't know what you don't know. So you can Google stuff and put it into your phone and the maps and the address and you drive up and it's like, oh, okay, here we are. This is the place. You mm-hmm. walk out and walk into where the... You know, the sign over the door says, here you are, the Flavelle House. So I walk in. I was like, okay, I'm going to buy a ticket. And then you find out, oh, this is, you're not actually in the house
Mm-mm.
yet.
That was the house for the horses.
That was the carriage house originally. And the person explains, okay, so you have to go to the actual house,
which was huge. By comparison, it was like, oh, this is the house.
Yeah, and we could, and when we first walked to it, we're like, is this where you go in? I don't know. These stairs look really steep.
We couldn't even find the front door. Like,
maybe, yeah, we couldn't even find the entrance for a little while, but we found it.
But we found it, and as soon as we walked in, it was spectacular.
It was way more impressive than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Because the outside is actually kind of rundown looking, right? The paint is peeling off a little. I guess you know what? The weather that day didn't help either.
Right.
But the inside, as soon as we opened the door and it was like, whoa, look at this grand, super high ceiling. It mm-hmm. felt like it was two stories tall,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
The hallway is enormously wide.
Mm-hmm. And we've been to several historic homes out here. One of our fun things to do, you know, go and visit some of these historic homes. And normally they're quite small,
if they belong to well-to-do families.
Yes, normally they're quite small and, you know, the stairwells are narrow mm-hmm. and things like that. This mm-hmm. was grand. The staircase was so wide and... amazing.
It reminded me of, you know, what is that TV show?
Oh, the scary one.
No.
With
The Gilded Age.
Oh, The Gilded Age. Yes, yes.
Yeah. It reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Where it's like these huge houses on the inside.
Really
it's
amazing.
Like the doors are like, you know,
the doors
two times
were
the size. And
the doors were giant and the doorknobs were low. It was kind of just this an odd thing. And what was amazing is that in that house, they had the original stained glass art above the main doorway.
It's so incredible.
But
that it has survived.
Why don't you tell people who Captain Flavelle was? Because he was the owner.
Oh, is this a quiz? Yikes.
Of this house.
Okay.
He was the owner of this house, and he was just this amazing man. Well, he seemed amazing. We don't really know. But he really made his fortune in Astoria, having to do with the sea right there.
Yeah.
Not the sea.
He somehow became familiar with navigating this particular stretch of the Columbia River, which was apparently nicknamed the Graveyard of the Pacific or something like that because of the sandbars, these underwater sand dunes that would, form depending on the currents and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so many ships would run aground on them and shipwrecks and people died and stuff. But this guy was like, hey, I've become familiar with this area. So
I can do it.
So give me the job of guiding the ships through this stretch of water. And I guess it was a government-related thing. But anyway, they were like, oh, yes, that's a great idea. Here, here you go. Ahead. Here's your contract. Here's your government contract. And and then, you know, decades later, he's like the richest dude in that area. And he builds this amazing house.
Yeah, he started to invest in various businesses in the area. And it just seemed like he was just everywhere during that time. Mm-hmm. But he built this house. This house was built in 1884, finished in 1885.
Oh wow, and that's super fast, huh?
He built it with the intention of retiring here.
Yes.
And the amazing thing about this house...
In the Queen Anne style, they said.
And maybe we can use a photo.
I can find
it. So people can see, because I would want to see. But he had a tower built... in the house. So when you think of a Queen Anne home, normally they have that little tower up at the top. But what was amazing about this one is that it was a 360 view of the town that included the Columbia River. So he would often be in the tower just kind of watching the ships and looking out and making sure everything was fine. And
enjoying his view.
Enjoying his view. Mm. And, well, we do have some scary stories to tell. Okay. About this house.
But can
I'll hold off. Yeah.
Okay. So what were the two things? First is that this house was done with all of the most modern, up-to-date conveniences of the time.
Yep.
What was it?
1885.
Mm-hmm. This house had central heating.
Yep.
It had vents in the floors with hot air forced through it from a wood-burning place somewhere. And then it also had indoor plumbing, including flushing toilets.
Yes. And the toilets almost looked like a closed wooden bench. And when you lifted the bench, that's where you would sit to do your business.
It kind of reminded me of, like, the bathrooms in airplanes.
How so? I'm like, I have...
Because it was very small.
The toilet?
Just the bathroom in general. And the toilet was... Like, the fact that it's on a bench, it feels like that's... Maybe I haven't been in an airplane bathroom in very long.
Yeah, because you know what? You might be mixing up houses. Because that bathroom was huge. You know what you're thinking of? You're thinking of the downstairs bathroom,
the side
in
bathroom.
That house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it didn't where it just had a little sink and then the little
the sink in
toilet.
One end corner,
yes,
the one
yes,
end of it.
Yes. Not the you're not thinking the master bath, which was huge. But
anyway, I was super impressed with that. I was like, "Wow."
And even the bedrooms were really large.
Oh, yes.
Compared to other historic homes that we've seen. But Queen Not
and me. I know I said two things. That was one.
Oh.
But now I'm forgetting what the other one was. That maybe it was that he only lived in there for 7 years. Because he'd passed away.
Yeah. Maybe it was. And back in the day, they would keep the body in the house. And we saw the room where they kept him. So it was interesting to see how they have this formal room.
Sorry. They didn't keep the body in the house forever. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my great-greats.
Yeah,
you know,
too.
They would keep the body in the house. So it's not so far
fetched
to have done that.
Yes.
But I thought it was interesting that they had a very special room for entertaining important guests. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. The room for entertaining important guests. And it was the first room. As soon as you walk into the house, the first room to the right. And... that's where they had all the fancy, like, sofas and things, and you would have tea, and, you know, so this Captain George Flavel and his young bride, very scandalous, but not scandalous for the time. She was 14 years old, I think.
And he was in his 30s, I think,
and he
right?
was in his, yeah, and yeah. he was 30. They had two daughters, Nellie and Katie, and also an older son, George, who never lived in the house. Mm. But Nellie and Katie both never got married, but they were known to do music in the house. And there was a beautiful music room. And one of the things, when we went to this house, I didn't do much research ahead of time. But we went to it. When we went into the kitchen, we were like, wow, look at this. And it was just so neat because this was, everything felt so fancy for mm-hmm. the time. And mm-hmm. even in our day now,
yeah.
it was like, wow, look yes. at this place. Except for the refrigerator, which seems so tiny. Mm. And I was like, what, is that the refrigerator? Mm. We're like, yeah, it seems so, so tiny. But you can imagine they probably just had butter and maybe milk in there, right?
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know.
But then we saw an interesting thing in the corner, mm-hmm. which sort of looked like an old-fashioned washing
station.
Like, yes, where you would wash your clothes and scrub it on that metal board.
A washboard.
And we weren't really sure what it was.
And you know, I just want to say, we want to go back.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, but...
Yes and no, but more yes.
But Toast, so we were kind of figuring out, what is this? What is mm-hmm. this? And right on the bottom, underneath this wash
floor.
Area, on the floor, there were these glass bottles. And I said, what are those bottles? Because it looked like, is that like the Clorox logo? Like, I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I'm looking around in that kitchen. And meanwhile, Toast is checking it out.
And so I reach over to just... you know, examine the bottles to pick it up and try and see if I can tell what it is. And these bottles don't have caps on them. They're open at the top. And I, you know, start putting my hand over the top of a bottle. And I swear to God, I feel like this whoosh of warm, hot, you know, air come up out of the bottle to my fingers. And I yank my hand away because that really surprised me.
I was a little excited. Toast did not tell me this story until we got home. Because when we got home, I was so curious about the house. I went down the rabbit hole and then discovered how haunted it really is. And when I was sharing this with Toast, that's when she told me about her experience.
I yanked my hand away and I kind of thought, oh, is that... is there a vent in the floor mm-hmm. right in that area? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I kind of tried to investigate that just by looking closer, and I kind of moved the bottles, but just by grabbing them from the side,
yeah.
not over the top, because I just didn't want to test that again for a creepy feeling reason. And mm-hmm. I wasn't very aggressive in my investigation about, is there a vent there? I just
kind
of...
You were probably shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked, and I was just a little curious. And then I just kind of tried to say a prayer / you know, intention, incantation of like, okay, I'm just going to sending good energy and protecting mm-hmm. myself and trying to be respectful. And then I just walked away.
Because Toast... many of you may not know this. Toast rarely has ghostly things happening for her mm-hmm. in your experience. There's probably
right.
just, you can count it on one hand,
oh,
and that was
yeah.
definitely one of them.
Yeah.
One of the times.
I can't even think of another
and
one.
And so
really.
I was very excited for her when she told me the story.
Oh, no.
I could not believe it. I was so excited about it. The only thing I was upset about is, why didn't you tell me when it happened? Because I wanted to have my feelers open and just really check it out.
Because I didn't want to scare
back.
You. That's why I didn't say anything, really. I didn't want to, like...
come on, you know me. Like, I love that kind of stuff.
But
I
you,
love
well, you
it.
Do, but you also don't, though. Like, you know, you don't want to
bring
ghosts
home. Well, I don't
want to
bring them
home. Right.
But, right. you know, the experience...
So I tried to just take care of it myself. And not, you know...
You know what I thought was
not
interesting?
Not to have you forced into dealing with it.
What I thought was interesting, and it makes sense now, mm-hmm. is after that moment, I noticed you had such... You had really... You were speaking very lovely, positive words to the house. I noticed that.
Really?
And when you told me
oh
about the incident, I remember going, oh, yeah. Yeah, you were just very much more vocally expressive, like as if you were blessing the house. And
oh.
so to me, it makes sense whether it was a conscious thing on your part or not,
huh.
Which I think was great because we didn't bring home any ghosts, which thank you. But anyways, so some of the things that when I got home and I was reading up on this house, and what started it was one of the, well, both daughters, they were well-versed in music, but one of them was a singer, and she sang at one of the opera houses in New York, and I was wondering, by chance, if that recording somehow existed somewhere. So I was going down the rabbit hole looking for it, and then I discovered all of these stories, and I won't go into all of them, but all of these stories that visitors have experienced, as well as volunteers who are giving guides, mm-hmm. Guided tours of the house. There were these common occurrences. So I will share some of these.
Okay. Are you going to share about the tower?
Yes.
Okay, because you've talked about the tower.
Yes.
Okay.
So why don't we start with the tower?
Okay.
Okay, so as I mentioned, Captain George, that was his domain. You know, he would go up there and he would make sure everything was okay and he'd be looking around and, you know, you can kind of picture him doing it.
With his spyglass, right? Yeah. His magnifying
glass. Right. Thing. Yeah. And so when this house first opened to the public for tours, you used to be able to go all the way up to the top. But they stopped doing that because too many people, and again, these were volunteers as well, too many people, upon walking up these stairs to go up to the tower, they would actually hear, stop, or stop right there, don't go any further, or turn around. Mm-hmm. And they would be very startled, as would I.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding, no one ever continued going up.
Wow.
When they would hear that.
Wow.
And so the historical society who owns this house now, they decided, let's just rope it off.
And so when we visited, it was roped off.
Yes,
you could not go up there.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In the music room that I mentioned for the daughters, Nellie and Katie, there used to be a music box that was in that music room.
After it opened to the public?
After it opened to the public.
Okay.
It's no longer there, and no one knows whatever happened to it.
Oh, my God.
But what is interesting is that people, again, guests as well as volunteers, would hear the music box playing coming from that room.
Even though there's no music box
there anymore. There's no music box there. No.
Do you know if they would hear it when there was a music box there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But there's no music box there anymore. So I think that's really interesting. Another occurrence is one of the daughters, Katie, she always wanted her curtains open in her bedroom.
Okay.
And
to the window.
To the window
of the house.
Right. Yeah. And, but in an old house like this, you know, if any of you have visited like a historical home, you'll notice that they tend to keep it very dim in there. And the curtains are, you know, closed or just partially with a sheer there. And that's to preserve a lot of the artifacts that are in there
right.
in the room.
Like how they say you can't take any flash
right.
photos.
Right.
You don't want the dimming.
So they would keep it closed.
Okay.
But then the volunteers got really used to going to Katie's room, you know, as they're prepping for guests to come in, visitors. They got used to whenever they would go to Katie's room, her curtains were wide open.
Hmm.
And so they would close it. But the interesting wow. thing that is really creepy is they would close it, step away for a few minutes, come back, and they'd be open again.
Mm.
And no one's in the house yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And guests have also witnessed that as well. Like windows, like curtains being wide open in her room mm. versus in the other rooms. And okay. it's all dim and dark in the huh. other rooms. And what they say is that Katie was, she had an illness where she basically, and it's so sad, she died in the home and she basically starved to death because she couldn't eat because of her illness. And back then they didn't have the types of medicines that we have now.
Right.
And so She was pretty much just in her bed, and so that's why she wanted the windows open, you know, the curtains open.
Wow.
So there's that story. And another story, and I'll leave everyone with this story, is many guests, many, many guests, you know, they want to take a photo of the outside of the house, mm-hmm. right? So whenever they take it from a certain angle, they would see three women in period clothing from one of the windows.
Mm.
And what they're saying is that's the mom and the two daughters looking out of the window.
And that is the Flavel House.
If you care to visit.
Flavel House Museum.
Yes.
Built for Captain George Flavel, 1885. I haven't seen pictures on the internet that really give the grand dimensions of the interior. You know, when I googled about the house afterwards, mm-hmm. and you know, you look for images, not one image did I see that really conveyed the scale of the interior.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to go and see it in person.
Yeah, you do have to go and see it. I remember, I think it's 11,000 square feet, the home. And the ceilings were 14 feet and 18 feet. Hmm. So the downstairs, it was 18 feet. And upstairs, it was 14 feet high, which is crazy when you think about that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But if you like that sort of thing...
And that's just one of the fun museums
in
Astoria, Oregon. So, yeah, we definitely want to go back. And hopefully the weather will be really nice when we do. Thank you for listening and hanging out with us for some good old-fashioned...
Scary fun.
Ghost stories from Astoria, Oregon. They have other museums that are less ghosty, too.
Oh, yeah, the movie museum.
Yeah, that's where we have to go the next time. Yeah. Okay, well, again, as always, live your love story.
Life is hard, and sometimes you need a little help and guidance. I'm Laura West, host of a Guided Life podcast, and I believe that help is all around us. We just have to ask for it. The universe has a way of guiding us forward with the help of our past loved ones, angels, spirit guides, and ascended masters. On the podcast, I love to explore these ideas with incredible guests and let people know that they are never alone. Make sure you subscribe and follow so you can join me on this journey. Part of the MindBodySpirit.fm network and wherever you get your podcasts.